Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to look at Psalm 27. It just kind of struck a chord with me, and we'll dig into it and kind of see where we end up. It starts out with a boom. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Now, I want you to think about, first of all, he's light. That's the ability to have revelation. So revelation is not the same as creation. Creation means it doesn't exist. It's never been there. Never had anything like that. When there was no universe, there had never been anything like that. And the Lord just spoke it into existence. He said, "Let there be light." For the first time ever in that dimension, there was light. He created suns for different galaxies and stars, and he created the moon. And so we have this vast universe. I mean, they talk about scientifically hundreds of millions of galaxies. Can you just even fathom that? And our closest galaxy to us, Andromeda, is 2.5 million light years away. How is all of this even possible to try to comprehend that our God, that takes time to fellowship with us on our human level, created all of these majestic things? But that's creation. There was nothing and then there was something. But revelation means there was something there, you just didn't see it. How many have ever looked at, is it called a hologram? Which one is the picture where it just looks like a bunch of dots and you don't say, "Oh, look at that. It's an eagle." And then somebody else comes along, "No, that's not an eagle, it's a lion." "Well, I don't know what you're looking at, you know." Or it may be even somewhat similar to dot to dot. Did you enjoy doing that as a kid? Maybe you still do. I seem to always come up with something different. But maybe that's because I didn't always like to go A to B, B to C, C to D. I wonder what it'll look like if I go A to D first and then back to C. And there's a whole message in that. Yeah, you want to make a mess of your life, end up with a bad picture of your life, just get out of order. Just get off. But I'm not teaching on that yet. But it's, you know, well, okay, I wonder what this picture is going to be. And you may have an inclination. You may have a hint of it. You may have cheated and looked at the back page like some of you do with crossword puzzles. Don't ever act like you don't. How many do crossword puzzles? We do a crossword. Have you ever gone back to find an answer just to see? Oh, we got purists. Okay, great. You didn't cheat for the whole thing. It's like, but if I could get this one answer, I'll make you get the other 15. So you got a little help. Well, if we walked in here and Brother Monahan, what color tie do you have on? Black and blue. But if it was dark in here, we wouldn't know that. He could tell us that. We would have a vocal plausibility of that. He could say, you know, it's black and blue. Well, I don't know. It's pitch dark in here. I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not, but I think you're a pretty good guy. So I believe you're telling me the truth, but I won't know it until somebody turns a light on. Light brings revelation. It was already there. We just didn't see it. Kind of like that thing that we men step on. Listen, we have a dog. We had two dogs. Now we're down to one. Her bone finds my foot in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter what path I take. I might think I'm going to be really wise this time. I'm going to take a wider path in the middle of the night going to the restroom. Oh, still finds my foot. How in the world did that happen? Well, I didn't see it. but I sure felt it. And if I had a light on, went ahead and aggravated my wife and turned on all the lights like she does. She's not here to fend for herself. We'll have fun. This is being recorded, though, isn't it? It will be a revelation. I would be able to see things if the light was turned on. We could settle a whole lot of issues in our life if we just turned the light on. If we looked at things through the lens of scriptural revelation, because the Bible says, and we're right here in this first part, the Lord is my light. He's my revelation. He's my ability to see things that I can't necessarily see. Or he's my ability, spiritually speaking, to perceive things that I might ordinarily miss. And this is what is absolutely insulting to the intelligence of God, that you and I could ever get bored with the Lord. Because how can you get bored with somebody who built a universe that galaxies are still forming millions upon millions and millions of light years away? That's the God we serve. And so sometimes we can be like, and you've heard me say this before, we can be like, you know, the first grader sitting in class with Albert Einstein. And he goes, children, you know, with his frizzed out hair, children, 2 + 2 = 4. And they're like, I knew that. I knew 2 + 2 = 4. And we all feel really big because we figured something out elementary, or we think we're already there. But this is the man that could take you into such mathematical equations that make your head spin. And a small percentage in the entire world would be able to figure out formulas that he might put together. That's the God we serve. Not Albert Einstein. But you understand the analogy. God is constantly taking us out of a dimmer understanding and bringing the light up. So it's one thing if you have a light bulb that's 40 watts. It's another if it's 60. It's another. And depending on, is it soft white? Is it what LED? And now they've done better with LED. But for a while, my wife couldn't stand LED lights because it looked like the factory lights. You know, when you went in, it just had that. You just felt like this is not my bedroom. I just showed back up at the factory where I used to work. It just had that sterile atmosphere. But they've done better now because that's where everything's going. But the brighter the light, the more you can see, because you can see further distances. And the Bible said the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So if I'm just walking right, if I'm only concerned about my next step, I shine the projection of that right down here. I'm in that cone of light. It's maybe spread out just enough for me to see that I'm not going to step into a hole or trip over a secret wire or, you know, twist my ankle on a rock. I have enough visibility. It's a lamp unto my feet, but it's also a light unto my path. Well, look at that big old bear down there just waiting to ambush me. I think I'll turn it back around this way. But it's a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. What does that mean? It gives me revelation to see what I wouldn't be able to see if I didn't have the light on. How is it that we could ever be religiously arrogant that we've already got it figured out and the Lord is saying, really? I've only shined a light on like 5% of what you think you really need to know. I'd like to bring you into more light. I'd like to bring you into greater revelation. Sometimes we stand here holding a little match that's, you know, and it's got a little bitty old flicker and we're like, woo, look at the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And God's like this huge, you know, like the sun. Turn that on. The revelation that he wants to give us of his love, of his mercy, of his grace, of who he is, far exceeds our most expert analysis. It far exceeds all of our experiences. In fact, take every experience of every child of God that has ever lived, blend them all up into one mixture, pour it into one giant pool, and that's what it would be. It would just be a little bitty old pond to the mighty oceans of God that extend endlessly for knowledge and understanding and power and mercy. And that's the God we serve. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. So you and I could exercise the mercy of God for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. We'll even give you 100 years. But you can't exhaust it because the mercy of the Lord is everlasting. Just get that in mind, O devils and opposition and antagonists of my faith. The Lord is my light. I will walk in discernment that I need. Jesus said in Matthew 24, take heed, let no man deceive you. And then he's going to begin to break down prophetic things that are going to come in the last days. He's going to talk about wars and rumors of wars, famines, ethnos against ethnos. That means nationality. He's going to talk about racial strife and division in the world. He's going to talk about national strife, nation and countries against countries, wars and all of that. That's going to continue to build and move at an exponential rate as we approach the coming of the Lord. But the first thing he says is, take heed, let no man deceive you, because there's many that are going to come in my name and tell you I'm Christ. But all you got to do is just, you don't even need a big old flashlight. Just get lit. Well, I just put my iPhone light on and can tell you ain't the Messiah. If you have discernment, the Lord is my light. He's my ability to discern. The Lord is my light. He shows me things I need to see. So he's my light, but then he's also my salvation. Doesn't that mean the same thing? No. One is revelation, one is redemption. The Lord is my light. Thank God he turned on the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Ah, because of the way he revealed himself, because of the light that he let shine into the dark regions of the world, the broken, the hurting, the poor, the lost, the Gentile, the pagans, the heathens, the rejected of Jewish society. Could have a Savior speak to them in love. A Syrophoenician woman could pick the crumbs up off the floor and get a miracle from God. Because he's not only our light, he's our salvation. He's my revelation and he's my redemption. I couldn't be saved without him. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself, but you can continue to walk in this path. Now, you might think that's contradictory if you read a scripture like Acts 2 and 40. This is after Acts 2:38. Acts 2 and 40 said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. But he's talking about what you do with your experience after you get baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't perform your own death, burial, and resurrection and be saved. If you and I get crucified on a cross, it will mean nothing but our death. His death on the cross meant salvation, redemption. And because he turned the light on that, he brought a revelation of hope to the world. He brought a revelation of love and mercy to the world. He brought a revelation of escape and deliverance from the law and the condemnation from the law because he turned on the light. So when I get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, I've applied the death, burial, and resurrection to my life through repentance, water baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Okay, so I've applied the death, burial, and resurrection, but I have to continue to walk. That's what Peter's saying. He's not saying save yourselves because you can be your own Savior. That's not what that means. It means now that you have been saved by a Savior, stay in that salvation. Continue to walk that righteous path. Keep doing what you know is right to do. Because when you get the Holy Ghost, what we get in that light and salvation is righteousness, joy, and peace. If there's peace missing in your life at this particular moment, then there's something that's not being tapped in the very gift that God put in you if you have the Holy Ghost. Because that's one of the byproducts. That's one of the benefits. That's one of the beautiful giftings of being in the kingdom of God. You're going to have peace. Not only will you have peace, but the writer said you'll have peace. Paul said in Philippians, peace that passes all understanding. When things don't make sense to you, God will still give you peace. When you can't figure out why certain things happen to you, he'll still give you peace. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now you can understand with more value this next phrase, whom shall I fear? So you don't just run over that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When you begin to understand the revelation and the redemptive power of your relationship with God, This is what settles the fear. This is what calms the emotion. This is what drains the chaos in your life and allows peace to come back. This is what brings the proverbial presence of the Lord on the boat of your life in the seas of strife when the storms are going crazy and the winds are howling, and he steps out there and says, shh, peace, be still. Because that's what you have. It's what takes away anxiety. It's what, you know, the Bible talks about perfect love casteth out all fear. Where did I get that perfect love? I got a revelation of that love. The light was turned on to see that love. And now I live in his redemptive power. I live in his revealing light. And I know that I am free from the fear that might plague the world. Everybody's dealing with something. We live in a time, in fact, the Bible prophesies that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we're going to deal with anxieties and panic disorders and depressive spirits and oppression like never before, because men's hearts will fail them for fear of what is to come. That should not be the child of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 teaches us that we are not children of the night or of darkness. We are children of light. We are children of the day. That means a light is on. See, it's coming back to a reference of you're living in the light. There's a certain level of comfort that comes in the light. As a child, you would not be nearly as afraid of the scrapings in the dark, the scratches on the window, the creaking of the floor. If the light was on, you'd be able to look and see. It really is a monster in my room. No. You'll be able to see there's nothing there at all. But just don't look under your bed. Oh, that was terrible. Sorry. Whom shall I fear? Aren't you thankful that with this revelation and redemptive power of our relationship with God, it removes fear from us? So does that mean that you're backslidden, lost without God if you've had a battle with fear this week? No, it just means we continue to be human and we have this earnest of our inheritance. We have a deposit of the glories that shall be revealed. So we don't have our immortal body yet. So we don't have a redeemed body, but we do have a redeemed soul and spirit. That body's got to catch up, and that'll come at the rapture. At the rapture, the final redemption will take place. We will get our redeemed body that can't get sick, can't be afraid, will never have to battle a devil again. You know, I don't know if there's any tear ducts in the immortal body, because the scripture said there'll be no more tears. But we're not there yet. So we have to deal with these things, and we bring them back. We bring back the curses of the darkness to the blessings of the light. We bring back the failings of our body to the blessings of our spiritual man. We subject those things. It's part of the reason why we come to church. It's not just going through, well, it's a routine we have to do every Sunday. And discipline is great. But when you get past that, when you get past the elementary level of I have to go, to the more spiritual drive of I want to go, to the ambition of your spiritual man that says, I need to be fed. I need to drink in some more of that light. I need to draw a little bit more from the wells of salvation because my joy is running low. Does that make sense? So we come together. We forsake not the assembling of ourselves together because we're going to be taught the Word of God. There's something in that teaching that's going to minister to what we may be presently enduring or going through, whether it's a physical affliction, a spiritual battle, an emotional anguish, whatever it might be, or it might be all of the above. It could be an accumulative thing that you're going through. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. See, I've been talking for 20 minutes just on these first 10 to 15 words. That's how much power there is in the Word of God. There is an infinity of resources in the Word of God. You can read a passage 100 times, and every time you read it, you could get something a little bit different out of it. Maybe because of what you're facing, maybe because of life you've lived, maybe because of something you just heard or read or felt, and you get just a little bit different perspective on it. Maybe your position is different. So if I'm standing here in front of Brother Rucker, we are both looking at the same phone, but I see something differently. Does that make sense? I don't have a different phone, but he sees the back of the phone. He doesn't know what I'm looking at on the lit screen in front. So sometimes God is saying, you and I are looking at the same thing, but you're not seeing what I'm seeing. And I'm going to turn the light on for you. Masada, which was a mighty fortress that Herod built up on this high elevation and very imposing. Masada is a place where Jewish revolutionaries withstood the 10th Roman garrison in 66 AD until finally, over a 3 to 4 month period, they built a ramp up to the gate of the city. And it took that long because they wouldn't surrender. But when they got into the city, they found that nothing but the dead. There were speculations that they had committed suicide. And then after further study, they realized that it came down to one individual that would have taken their own life and would have killed everybody else. So all of these families that were in there, the hundreds that were in there, come down to 10 men who killed all these people. And then the 10 men killed one another till it got down to the last man. So they didn't surrender. But all that is in the legend of Masada. Masada is this word, strength. It's a Hebrew word. It's fortress, stronghold. The Lord is the Masada. He is the strength. He is the refuge. He is the protection. He is the stronghold of my life. Don't ever think that the enemy is the only one that can use the word stronghold. Because sometimes we hear the word stronghold and we automatically think of demonic strongholds. No, God is the original stronghold. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He is my refuge. In fact, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe, protected. So the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. He reveals things to me. He has given me redemption. He has delivered me from anxiety and fear. And he also reveals that he is my refuge. He gives me a place of escape. He gives me a place to run to. Gives me somebody to counsel with. And out of the confidentiality of that prayerful counsel, my life is going to be better because wisdom will come. Nuggets of truth will come. And so, again, if you've had to battle with fear and overcoming certain things, it doesn't mean that you're some backslid failure. It just means that we need to exercise that area. We need to stir that gift up. That's a situation that we use a Pentecostal nomenclature. You need to pray through. And really, that's about 90% correct. How many have fussed about things until you took it to prayer? And then it just all of a sudden it just got better because you were talking to God about it. And maybe it wasn't instant, it wasn't a microwave moment. You might have had to wait a few more days or weeks. But you got counsel from the Lord. And in that wisdom of God, you found strength and peace. He goes on to say, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now, isn't that amazing that the psalmist is saying, now here's the good side. The Lord is my light, he's my salvation, he's my redeemer, he's my refuge, he's my strength, he's my hope, he's my help in the time of trouble. But I've got them foes I've got to talk about. I've got to talk about that opposition. I've got to talk about those that don't believe what I believe. And if they don't believe what I believe, they don't behave like I behave. And because they didn't behave like him, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him out. Sometimes your very presence of light in somebody's world is what makes them dislike you. It doesn't matter how many smiles you give them. It doesn't matter how much you try to charm them. It doesn't matter how much energy and effort you put into trying to get along with them. How many know I'm telling the truth? There's just some people you haven't been able to get along with in the world because you have light and they don't. And they don't want your light. Jesus said in John 3, men love darkness rather than light. They don't want their deeds to be manifest. Not when they have a sinner's mind. Not when they have an apostate's heart. Not when they have a reprobate's understanding. Not when they have a transgressor's mentality. They just want to continue to do the things they are doing in rebelling against the will of God and the wisdom of God. And you, in the presence of your faith, in their lack of faith or unbelief or atheism or humanistic spirit, you're a contrast to them and they don't want you around. So then They would rather you be devoured than for them to be delivered. This very psalmist could have been a blessing to these people right here that are trying to hate him and hurt him.
Spread the word, spread the word.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.